Harper Audio presents Mick Jagger by Philip Norman. Read for you by James Langton. Prologue. Sympathy for the old devil. The British Academy of Film and Television Arts is not normally a controversial body, but in February 2009 it became the target of outraged tabloid headlines. To MC its annual Film Awards, an event regarded as second only to Hollywood's Oscars, BAFTA had chosen Jonathan Ross, the floppy-haired, foul-mouthed chat show host who was currently the most notorious figure in UK broadcasting. A few weeks previously, Ross had used a peak-time BBC radio programme to leave a series of obscene messages on the answering machine of the former Fawlty Towers actor Andrew Sachs. As a result, he had been suspended from all his various BBC slots for 3 months, while comedian Russell Brand, his fellow presenter and accomplice in the prank, who boasted on air about shagging Sachs's granddaughter, had bowed to pressure and left the corporation altogether. Since the 1990s, comedy in Britain has been known as the new rock and roll. Now here were two of its principal ornaments, positively straining a gut to be as naughty as old-school rock stars. On awards night at the Royal Opera House, Covent Garden, a celebrity-packed audience including Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, Meryl Streep, Sir Ben Kingsley, Kevin Spacey and Kristin Scott Thomas received two surprises outside the actual winners' list. The first was that the bad language everyone had anticipated from Jonathan Ross came instead from Mickey Rourke, on receiving the Best Actor award for The Wrestler. Tangle-haired, unshaven, and barely coherent, since movie acting also lays urgent claim to being the new rock and roll, Rourke thanked his director for this second chance, after fucking up my career for 15 years, and his publicist for telling me where to go, what to do, when to do it, what to eat, how to dress, what to fuck. Having quipped that Rourke would pay the same penalty he himself had for Saxgate and be suspended for 3 months, Ross moderated his tone to one of fawning reverence. As presenter of the evening's penultimate statuette for Best Film, he called on an actor and lead singer with one of the greatest rock bands in history. Somebody for whom this lofty red and gold tiered auditorium must seem like one of the smaller venues, and who, incidentally, could once have made the Saxgate scandal look very small beer. Almost sacrilegiously, in this temple to pure acoustic Mozart, Wagner and Puccini, the sound system began chugging out the electric guitar intro to Brown Sugar, that 1971 rock anthem to drugs, slavery, and interracial cunnilingus. Yes, indeed, the award giver was Sir Mick Jagger. Jagger's entrance was no simple hop up to the podium, but a lengthy red carpet walk from the rear of the stage to allow television viewers to drink in the full miracle. That still plentiful hair, cut in youthful retro 60s mode, untainted by a single spark of grey. That understated couture suit, worn in deference to the occasion, but also subtly emphasising the suppleness of the slight torso beneath and the springy athletic step. Only the face betrayed the 65-year-old, born at the height of the Second World War, the famous lips, once said to be able to suck an egg out of a chicken's ass, now drawn in and bloodless, the cheeks etched by crevasses so wide and deep as to resemble terrible matching scars. The ovation that greeted him belonged less to the Royal Opera House or the British Academy of Film and Television Arts than to some giant open-air space like Wembley or Dodger Stadium. Despite all the proliferating genres of new rock and roll, everyone knows there is only one genuine kind, and that Mick Jagger remains its unrivaled incarnation. He responded with his disarming smile, a raucous "hello," and an impromptu flash of Rolling Stone subversiveness. "You see, you thought Jonathan would do all the fucking, and Mickey did it."